them hands together. Put them together, B&E on a Monday with what's anticipated to be a breaking news Monday with conversations and Big 12, Texas, Oklahoma, SEC. We'll keep an eye on the conversation moving forward as well. But something tells me 8 o'clock could be, there could be some news.
I mean, are you reporting this? I mean, you're sounding like you know what's going on.
I'm anticipating something newsworthy to
should tell us if you if you have breaking news. You
I don't have any breaking news. I mean, sounds like you're reporting that.
I mean, you're saying a time. I mean, you said 8 o'clock, right?
No.
So it's right now,
potentially.
Okay,
we'll see.
Just want to make sure that I'm
we'll
right
see.
There with it. By the way, on Friday, I had talked about getting some shoes to some kids. And I have over 70 some pair of shoes. Really, I went to pick them up yesterday. Really nice Nike shoes. I mean, I as a kid, I wish I would have got these a long time ago. And they were really odd sizes, 15, 18, 14s, and some, you know, 13s and things like that, which Nike runs a little small. I put on a size 13 and a half, and I'm a 12, and it fit me. So these shoes, I talked about meeting over at Cavender's on Wednesday. We had made big plans to go to Cavender's on Wednesday, but this is not from Cavender's or from this radio station. But I'm not comfortable having a bunch of people around each other, especially high school kids. And I just want to make sure this is not coming from Cavender's. This is not coming from this radio station. But to gather people in a spot like that, I don't know who's vaccinated, who is, who's not. And you can say what you want, but I'm not comfortable with doing this. So there are two schools that I'm going to get these shoes to. If there are some individuals that need really nice shoes, please let Zay know, and I'll get those to you some way, somehow. But I can't have a group of, you know, that are looking for 70 shoes and 100 people show up. And, you know, with the protocol that's going on right now in this city and all around the place, I just don't think that would be a smart move on my part. And my heart was in the right spot. But I want to be really, really careful, and I don't think that's the right decision to do at this time. So I'm sorry about that. I wish I could be there. My friends at Cavender's wanted to do this, too. They didn't say don't do it. I just thought today I needed to let you know, since I talked about it on Thursday and Friday, that's not going to happen on Wednesday. But I'm going to get these shoes to the right people, over 70 pair of really nice shoes, nice Nikes for kids to start out their high school football deal with. So we'll find a way. I'll get them to two nice schools, but I just can't do that.
Well,
it's just not the time. It is not the time to do that.
It's another great gesture on your part and the show's part to help folks who need what they need, and hopefully you can make that happen. But it is smart. I mean, I've come back from Chicago to what, stage four now?
Yes.
That happened over the weekend?
Yeah, and to gather kids that I don't know, that we don't know. I mean, all you need is one to say this happened there or that happened. No, thank you. Plus, I don't want anybody to get sick. I don't want anybody to get sick. I don't want that on me, and I'm not comfortable with doing that. But we'll get the shoes out. There's a couple schools that really could use all these Nike shoes, and I will get them there. But not in a gathering. You know what I'm saying? People getting out of cars and coming and sit down, putting on shoes, and no, that would not be smart. And generally, I'm not smart, but I'm making a smart decision. To not do that, because I stayed up all night thinking about do I, don't I? No.
Well, it'll happen. I know you'll make it happen somehow.
Somebody said Nike's made by kids.
For kids.
Great. Made by kids for kids. Thank you.
Oh, man. All right, so a lot going on. Let's get to your trending topics. Headlines to start your Monday morning. Top Gun, Law and Equipment Rentals bring you the news. And we will keep you posted on the latest, but seismic change could be coming to the 40 acres and certainly in the Big 12. It appears that the reports of last week and weekend will become a reality today. Texas and Oklahoma are expected to formally notify the Big 12 Conference that they will not be renewing their grant of rights agreement with the conference when those rights expire at the end of the 2024-2025 school year. The official notification will be the first step for those two schools to then be considered for admission into the Southeastern Conference. The move will come following a Big 12 Executive Committee meeting that was held yesterday. It did include Texas President Jay Hartzell and Oklahoma President Joe Haraz, but multiple reports indicate that although the meeting was cordial, it did not alter either school's plans. In a statement released following yesterday's meeting, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby said in part, "I expect we will continue our conversations in the days ahead. We look forward to discussing thoughts, ideas, and concepts that may be shared of shared interest and impact." Stay tuned to the very latest on that. Tokyo Olympics, the U.S. Official medal count now stands at 14, including 7 gold medals after the first weekend of competition. Katie Ledecky, the U.S. swimmer, had to settle for silver last night in the women's 400-meter freestyle. U.S. men's basketball saw their 25-game Olympic winning streak snapped. They fell to France in pool play, 83-76. Speaking of hoops, how about Luka Doncic in his Olympic debut? The Maverick star dropped 48 points to lead Slovenia, I should say, past Argentina, 118-100. In baseball, Astros completed a 3-game sweep of the Rangers, 3-1 the win at Minute Maid Park yesterday. With the sweep, Astros improved to a season-best 22 games over 500, extend their lead in the American League West to 5.5 games over Oakland. Rangers have lost a dozen straight, 12 straight losses for Texas. Trade yesterday in baseball, Padres have acquired Pirates all-star second baseman Adam Frazier for 3 minor leaguers. Pirates giving up on, he's not even a free agent at the end of the year. Frazier leads all of baseball in hits this year. Direct trade deadline in baseball is coming up on the 31st. In golf, former Texas A&M golfer Cameron Champ fired a final round 66 to win the 3M Championship in the Twin Cities. Finished 2 strokes better than Louis Oosthuizen, former Longhorn Jonathan Vegas, and Charles Schwartzel.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
Come to Top Gun and buy or rent the equipment you need for your construction and lawn projects, and you could win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio tequila or Blanton's whiskey.
TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
God, if Cameron Champ didn't win that yesterday, and because he pulled out his driver with a 3-stroke lead at a par 5, number 18, you're talking about gagging one away. That would have been horrible.
Pulled one in. There was water on the right, so he made sure he didn't go anywhere near the water.
No, he wasn't near it.
But he had a 2-stroke lead, so bogey still wins the tournament.
Absolutely.
But he pulled it, and then he ended up in like the heaviest grass on the course, it appeared.
And then I was thinking, he's not really still going to try to get on in 3 from where he was, right? He's going to just chip out, get on the green, and 2-putt. And win this thing.
And, you know, you see with Cameron Champ of why these guys are professional. This guy was... He hit a bad tee shot, maybe made a bad decision, probably could have gone 2-iron there to keep things in play.
Oh, yeah.
But his pitch out was fine, and then
his
third shot was to within 1.5, just rolled it back, and you know he's really good. And he showed you why he was 15-under for the weekend, wins for the third time on the tour, and poor Louis Oosthuizen, another runner-up. Guy can't win for losing.
Yeah, he's making some cash every week.
And finishes second.
Yeah, there's three more tournaments before the FedEx Cup starts, and you'll see a lot of guys. People are saying, well, where are all these other guys? What are they doing? They're chilling out. They're in.
Yeah.
So they're not having to go and try to stay in that, what is it, top 125, 127 or something like that?
Yeah, and that was a big week.
They're hanging out. That was a big week for a lot. Cameron Champ went like from 120 to 48.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a big jump with a victory. Obviously, that's where you get the most points. It was kind of cool for a nice stretch there on the back nine that you had an Aggie and a Longhorn in contention with Vegas and Cam Champ. And, you know, Vegas, God, his putter just let him down. I mean, he missed a couple of putts that he actually, you know, he finishes 2 strokes back. He had 2-3 putts.
Little whining syndrome going on.
He missed 2-3 putts on the back nine. Or par threes, 3 putted both of them for bogey, which really became the difference for him in that match. So that's part of the good of the weekend, the bad as well, and the ugly of the weekend coming down with a lot of breaking news from the Longhorns and Oklahoma expected today. You know, I don't know. You know, they had the meeting yesterday, the executive committee of the Big 12, headlined by Bob Bowlesby, president of Baylor, president of Texas Tech, were on the meeting yesterday with Jay Hartzell and the Oklahoma president. And according to multiple reports, it was really just a listening session where the executive committee kind of made their, as you said earlier, begged, kind of making their pitch to Texas and Oklahoma to try to get out from under the inevitable. But by all accounts,
they're asking two schools that run the deal, here's what we can do for you. And they're saying, well, sorry, if we want that done, we can get that done ourselves, actually.
Kind of too late.
And, sorry. Well, we're gone.
I mean, look, I mean, I as I've said all morning, and I think it's an aggressive move. It's a smart move. It's a business decision by Texas. But I mean, you have to understand where you sit in the changing landscape of your industry. You know, the game, the sport is changing, and the entire realm of college athletics is changing so dramatically, so quickly, that I mean, you have to you can't be caught flat-footed. I mean, you have to put things in place for the long haul if you're going to compete at the highest levels. And I mean, so for people that say, "Well, Texas has been mediocre in the Big 12 the last 10 years," that's true. I mean, that's an accurate statement. They have been. But that's why you hire athletic directors. That's why you put good coaches in position and support them. It is fair to say that the Longhorn Athletic Department is in as good a position as it's been in 10 years, as far as, you know, everything it needs to be successful on all fields and courts of play. But this is a decision being made way above athletics. This is a business decision made by the president, the Board of Regents, about the future of Texas and where they fit best in the grand scheme of the big business of college athletics. And I do think the move to the SEC is a bold one. I think it's a smart one from the business perspective. If you want to debate the football field side of it, you know, we'll see. It's a step up in class, without a doubt, for the Longhorns.
Yeah, well, you didn't hire a new coach not to be competing at the highest level or against the best teams, really, whether it's in your conference or not. But whether you're good enough, that's yet to be seen. It really truly is. I mean, the coach hadn't played a game yet. So you have to wait and see what that's like, even in your – whatever conference are you in, you have to wait till game one see what it's like. So I'm not –
Correct. But yeah, I guess my point for the leadership at Texas is you can't be fearful of, oh, we can't join the SEC because we're going to lose football games. You have to do what's best for the bottom line. And right now the best for the bottom line is to be in the premier conference where the premier TV contracts are going to be doled out. Where the top prospects from all over the country. And
you're not going to not join something because you're afraid to play. I mean, it's more than just your football program. It's everything. Everything involved. And it's big money that's involved, too.
Huge.
Yeah.
And that's the next round of TV deals that will come down and brokered, you know, by the SEC. And if you're Texas or Oklahoma, you want to be in that and not in the Big 12 when those next round of TV money is handed out.
And by the way, as for now, when it comes to just football alone, Oklahoma will do okay in the SEC. Oklahoma's not worried about how they'll do in the SEC. That group doesn't have... Believe me, I don't think their fan base is worried about how will we do. We'll do pretty good. They think they'll do pretty good.
Well, sure.
In the SEC.
They're at
that spot right
they've
now.
They've dominated the Big 12 conference. We know that. And obviously for them, it's a step up, too, just on the week-by-week grind of the Southeastern Conference. I mean, if you're Texas, gosh, you can look. If this does happen by 2022, and who knows what the timeline will be, if it indeed it does, you know, Texas has a future schedule with Ohio State on the schedule. I mean, you're going to have a season where in one 12-game season, you'll play Ohio State, LSU, potentially, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Arkansas. I mean, this is good. But, yes, do you risk getting embarrassed on the football field if you don't improve your football program? Yes, no doubt, because your level of play in the Big 12 has not been championship level. You know that. But that doesn't mean you don't make from a business side, you don't make the best decision for you.
That's like peeing in the wind. I understand that part. I just mess with people and they're thinking I'm afraid. I as a former coach would be afraid to go play. No, I would actually want to be playing. Hell, I've been begging to play LSU every year.
Yeah.
Every year, first game.
For sure.
No matter what. So it's not that you're afraid. It's not, that has nothing to do with it whatsoever. It's tough leaving a conference. It's tough leaving people behind. And people say, well, that's not right. You join. You got a 5-year contract. Stay to the contract. But nobody stays to contracts. Nobody stays to handshakes. Nobody stays to contracts. And nobody stays to their word. That's business.
Well, look, this is what's going to be interesting today. And it may happen in the next hour or so. But when the university officially sends their letter to the Big 12.
Are you reporting this again?
No, but it's going to come down at some point today, and it may be sooner than later.
Okay.
And I've been reporting it all morning. I mean, the Big 12, the University of Texas and Oklahoma, on the heels of yesterday's emergency meeting, are still going to move forward with their plan to send the letter to the conference informing them of their desire to leave it and not be a part of it beyond the current contract. When that happens, that's why I say reports become procedure. When that happens, how does the Big 12 respond? What is the Big 12's response to its two flagship schools saying they're leaving? I don't know. We'll see. What is their stance on this? Are they going to make it easy? Are they going to make it hard? Are they going to fight like hell? I don't know. And then what is the SEC's response to all of it? Because once the two schools make their declaration, well, guess what? Then the SEC can officially begin talks to invite the two schools to their conference. So that all should come down today at some point. Does that lead to some type of news conference or, you know, bigger picture conversations? We'll see. Because, again, everything we've heard since last Wednesday is just reporting and media conversation. This now, actions are going to be taken, which will lead to responses and results. And I don't pretend to know exactly how it's going to play out today.
Well, you said you thought within an hour. That's close. That's close enough.
Also, we need to call Quan. Can we call Quan Cosby, Zay? I completely forgot. Actually, let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk to Quan. We're supposed to talk to Quan at 8:10, and I'm searching the wire here. We're expecting some potential news to drop that has not come. But I did set up a conversation with Quan. I wanted to talk to him. Of course, Quan close and works for the university and ties at all levels of the university. So we'll get Quan's thoughts on this. He, of course, won a national championship at Texas and won the Big 12 on a few occasions while he was a Longhorn. And like you, Buck, there's the sentimental idea that it's the Big 12, right? This is the conference you play in. This is the conference you've played in for a long time.
Yep.
And
I have no sentiments anymore. They were gone last week. You know what I mean? Bye.
Bye?
Yeah, you got to. Yeah, you have to.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll talk to Quan Cosby. We're also going to talk to Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman later in the program in the 9 o'clock hour, what he's hearing and thoughts from his Big 12 sources as well. But we apologize to Quan. Quick time out. We'll come back, talk to QC, his thoughts on this potential move and a power move Texas is making to the Southeastern Conference. It's coming back next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you on a Monday, waiting for shoes to drop, I think is a fair way to put it, with the reports of last week. Does it lead to action this week by the University of Texas and the University of Oklahoma declaring their intention to head out of the Big 12 when the contract expires at the end of the 2025 season? With some thoughts, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He is a great friend of the show, of course, familiar voice to the program, works at the university, and does a lot of great things. He's a national champion as well. Our buddy Quan Cosby. QC, how are you?
Hey, Bucky. Good morning.
What's happening, man?
Good morning. And by the way, I have to start this, Bucky. You said it, but this whole deal, OU still sucks right now. They will suck forever.
Thank you, Quan.
Regardless of what supposedly is going to happen, they're still going to suck, and that's never going to change. So
okay. You haven't been holding hands.
With that.
You're not holding hands with them, are you? No.
Holding hands? I tell you what, it's about as going back to Lindy Holmes. That's how I hold hands with
Oklahoma.
The second this the ink dries, we're going to go back to slapping, although they've been slapping the crap out of us.
Thank you.
But we hope that changed.
Thank you.
Well, Quan, we always like to reach out to you and hear from you because you do you are connected, as we like to say, with the upper-ups at Texas and, of course, at the locker room level with the players. But, you know, it's interesting. 40 days from now, the Longhorns are going to play a football season. They'll start practice this next week and to get ready for that season. But, obviously, bigger developments above – you know, even the athletic department with what may come down today or this week. What are your overall thoughts on the potential move out of the Big 12 and into the SEC?
Man, I'll tell you, it was funny because you were on vacation last week. I was as well, and we won't even talk about some of the shenanigans Bucky did. But the I'm standing in the water over in Santa Rosa, and I befriended this Mississippi State family, and I was actually feeling vacation good, and they asked me, like, hey, man, you heard about Texas and OU going to the SEC? And I was like, dude, what are you even talking about? That's the dumbest thing ever. I'm so sick of USCC arrogance and all that. And I was playing music on my phone through the speaker, and my phone just starts ringing. And my mother-in-law was like, Quan, your phone is going crazy. I was like, what the? She's like, oh, crap, something else tragic happened. I'll be dang if I don't go up there and boom, all of this breaking news happens. And it's been like that ever since. So, man, it's pretty wild. Clearly nothing official has happened. And those that I've talked to can't say anything until it's official. I do have a Thursday dinner and event in Tyler. And y'all will know exactly what that means. I'll learn a lot more about the end of the week, like a whole lot more, how kind of a little background on how it all went down. But, man, my initial response was what? I mean, I played in the Big 12. I know the Big 12. I don't know a world without the Big 12. But in thinking about, you know, a few years back when we had the whole fake call with the teams on it thinking they were going to join the Big 12 and the Baylors of the world talked Bowlesby out of it so that they can keep their rev share. I knew the Big 12 was probably in trouble from that point on. And then, and then second, thinking about going to Starkville, going to the Grove, going to Baton Rouge to watch away games. Oh, dude, I got goosebumps. I was like, this sounds pretty awesome. And then last but not least, in watching the Aggie meltdown, that was I was like, dude, this is phenomenal. These guys are, I mean, I to the point of even having a 45-minute talk with Billy Lucci yesterday, who I've actually known for a long time. And he's been less than happy about the Aggie meltdown. And even we talked briefly about them having to kiss the ring and say, hey, we better chill out before the SEC, you know, throws us out of the freaking conference. We're not the furthest team in the West, quote unquote, when it's official anymore. So just crazy conversations about it. And the more I think about it, I just get a little more fired up about what the landscape could be. And like y'all said, big picture, it makes every ounce of sense to me. And to those saying, oh, we got to go play the best of the best. Man, we won the Natty. We beat Ohio State, who was number 3 in Columbus, at a night game. And then we went and beat USC in Pasadena, also known as their backyard, who was number 1. So if you're going to win, Alabama plays the best every year, and they still win. So that whole notion that, oh, it's the SEC, whatever. You got to beat who you have to beat, and you have to be the best and worry about you. So I'm getting pretty fired up about the potential of what's happening, and especially if it pushes the 12-team playoff.
What was your hesitancy about, as you said, about leaving the Big 12 Conference? Is it the fact, I mean, you're similar to how I am, Quan, is that's all you really, really knew. I knew the Southwestern Conference for a little bit, you know, but not very long when I got to Texas. So everything to me has been about Big 12 and, you know, how you were you going to be able to build your conference. Well, you had two powerhouses in your conference, that's for sure. But now teams like Iowa State, how long do they hang? How long would they be a part of making the Big 12 stronger each and every year? Probably as long as Matt Campbell's there, and it looks like he's going to be there for quite a while. Now he's left out in the lurch somewhere. But was it the fact that that's all you knew?
Dude, I mean, one of the first people I called was Coach Brown. I'm like, Coach, you heard about this? And he was like, you know, and Coach Brown is a huge Big 12 guy. And, mm-hmm. and I can't say all the things we talked about, but ultimately – he said, be careful what you ask for, and then certainly said, this is going to change the college landscape. And that was cool to hear from another Power 5 coach, and then, of course, Chris Brown loving the Big 12. So it was that in a nutshell. It really was. It was like, whoa, we can't get rid of the conference that I played in. That's weird. You know, I'm in my late 30s, so this conference, if it survives or not, even as happy as I am about what potentially happens, if this conference dissolves, that's going to be the weirdest thing ever, that something that was so dear to me it doesn't exist anymore. So it had everything to do with that. And right. Let's be real. I think about it on a different level. I'm sitting there going, bro, we haven't won the Big 12 in a long time. Why don't we go to another conference that is going to be even harder to win? I was like, if we're trying to win national championships, let's be real. The easiest road is staying in the Big 12. I'm not saying it's easy, because clearly we've had our trouble with these other schools in the Big 12 and certainly that one up north. However, if you're being very realistic, the easiest road to a natty and to the playoff is keeping the Big 12, adding a few teams, and whipping on them. Because I promise you, as tough as Iowa State has been for these guys, especially our previous coach, let me see – LSU every year, Bama every other year, those teams are going to be harder. And so just thinking about it on that level, and then the competitive juices kicked in, and I'm like, you know what, who gives a hootenanny? We need to go and be the best and be the blue bud that we, at least expectations, say we want to be. As much as I love my Longhorns, I'm a realist, and when we won it in 05, it had been 30 years, so I also get – what that means and even going to the SEC and all the above. But, yeah, it was sentimental. It was more every ring I have has Big 12 on it. You know, right. We're not screaming at the top of the mountain like, you know, the Aggies have done since they joined the SEC. We're not going to celebrate an 8-4 season because we lost to SEC teams. But it was certainly a sentimental kind of perspective. And plus, the Big 12 that I knew wasn't the current Big 12. You know, when I was in the Big 12, we had 16s in the top 13. You know, we were literally playing on game day every other week.
That's true.
We played three or four times. And so I was like, man, the Big 12 is still really good. And last but not least, dude, if you look every year in bowl season, the Big 12 have led or been first or second in percentage. That they whoop up on schools in bowl season, so they're probably not as bad as, you know, what we even think sometimes. So it was certainly sentimental and all of that. But again, the more I think about the big picture, let's be real, NIL did something. It opened up the real conversation of what college football is. And by the way, it's about money.
Yeah.
We've been playing this whole, you know, oh, student athlete thing. No, it's about money. And so if you think about all those, it makes perfect sense.
Right. And what the Big 12 is today is not what it will be, in my opinion, in a changing landscape, you know, even five years from now in college athletics. And I think that's what Texas is getting ahead of. For our audience, Quan, you know Jay Hartzell, the president. You've worked with him pretty closely. Obviously, he's been very aggressive. He's only been on the post a year, but he's a economist by trade. I mean, he's a business guy from used to run the Dean of the McComb School. And, you know, business is business. And I will say this, the fact that you mentioned Mack Brown, I think, is interesting. DeLoss Dodds before him, Bill Powers before, you know, there was always this idea or mindset that, you know, we're not a good fit in the SEC, culturally, politically, whatever, that it was not a good fit. But obviously, with new leadership, with Kevin Elteif, Jay Hartzell, and the new folks in charge at UT, there's a change in mindset that it's not only a fit, it's the fit for the University of Texas. What can you tell us about Hartzell and how you think he's steering this thing?
And that's a cool thing because before, and it's funny because Hartzell's the president now, we all know that, but we were really, really close before he became president. And then when he became it, I was like, holy cow, this just changed the game. And I'm going back to my phone blowing up, I guess it was Thursday or something like that. My first text was to him, and because we were friends, not because of me playing ball or any of this other stuff, Jay's never not texted me back, ever. And I've never not texted him back. It's just our friendship. Yeah, I didn't get a text back after I sent that one until the next day. And all he said was, I hope you're well. We'll talk soon. Hook him. And I was like, okay. This thing is real, very real. And the silence told me everything I needed to know. So, yeah, I haven't actually had a real conversation with him about it. But like I said, I'll see him and Tyler as well on Thursday. And hope to get a little more information about all of it. And going back to me being very comfortable with it, it has everything to do with his leadership. I mean, dude, that guy been here for a year, and it feels like 14, 15 years. Between all the things that's been going on since he came in as interim and now, of course, making it official. So his leadership is real. To your point, he thinks big picture. This is a funny thing. As much as I love my Horns and our fan base, we always have these crazy expectations. But I think this is saying if we're really the blue blood, if we're really one of the top 10 programs in the country, a lot of those other top 10s are in the SEC. Let's go join them and let's prove it every year. And let's raise our perspective and put to action what our expectation seems to be every year.
Well,
and we do have a coach in Sark that they all believe in, I believe in, that's going to probably do that.
You know, Quan, just because it's a financial fit, you can still believe it's not a social fit. You know what I'm saying? money-wise, but the Longhorn fans and Longhorns, they still don't believe it's a social fit to join. You know, I don't care what the new, you know, new presidents, new ADs and all that stuff, they still don't believe it's a fit. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a money fit. But, you know, I don't believe it's the still the social fit that they believe that, oh, no, we fit just perfectly socially with the SEC. I believe they fit, I mean, it's financially with them. But I still don't believe they think it's a academic fit. That didn't just change.
I think it's certainly not academically. But even from a social standpoint, I think it'll make more sense once they go to some road games. I mean, let's be real. We've been talking about Fayetteville. Arkansas is not an SEC powerhouse. But that thing, I know 20,000 people going to Fayetteville. I literally know grown men who cried when COVID canceled the trip to Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
And so socially, I actually think it's more of a fit than people think. And now not making that crazy destination game and it be that norm. And even talking to Lucci, he said, man, you know, I think we sometimes take it a little overboard on our SEC yells. But if all this happens the way it plans and you get a couple of years in the SEC and you see what, you know, Auburn and Tuscaloosa, you see what these stadiums and these fan bases do on game day and why it does, you know, matter so much. I can't stand their slogan still, but it's true. And that's probably why I can't stand it, because it's true. And the social aspect, I think, will change pretty quickly. And us going to the SEC, going back to the NIL, too, one of my issues socially was that we don't give and again, this is an assumption. I'm not going to say this on an official matter, but we didn't necessarily do the same things to get recruits that the SEC is allegedly doing. Well, NIL just changed that. It took that under the table money and put it on the top. So I think that social perspective changed as well. And so, yeah, and then academically, I don't care what they do in these other schools. We still have to be our standards. And some of our fans would even say, are we going to be Stanford or are we going to be Alabama? And I don't say, I think we can be a very healthy middle of both and have very competitive sports like we have in the other sports. We just need to get football and basketball back to where it needs to be. So I think socially, you don't know what you don't know, but I do know that I love a game day atmosphere, and having game day or not, I think going to these stadiums and them coming to Austin is gonna mesh pretty freaking well pretty quickly, just on a competitive level.
Quan Cosby, always well said, and look forward to hearing more about your meeting in Tyler. I believe that's Tyler is home of the head of the Board of Regents, Kevin Eltife, and that's where he is from. So maybe that has something to do with your meeting there, and Jay Hartzell will be there, as you said. But, Quan, appreciate it. Glad you – hope you had a good time in Florida on your vacation. Glad you're back, and look forward to talking more moving forward.
Thanks, Quan.
Yeah, man, there's a lot going on. And, yes, that is where Eltife is. He's getting an award there, but Hartzell, CDC, the whole crew – will be in East Texas, and they're crazy as all get out if they don't think I don't have a lot of questions. So it'll be fun and always good talking to you guys. Glad y'all back. Hope you had a great vacation, E, and talk to y'all soon. Hook 'em.
Thanks, buddy. All right, there's Quan Cosby. Yeah, I mean, it's the way, you know, look, for a long time, Texas has wanted to be, I think Quan said that well. Are we Stanford or are we Alabama? And I think, you know, that there's a belief that Texas hasn't been a big enough bully in football and put it all in on football to compete to those levels, because they want to, it's more academic driven. They want to be more like Stanford. They want to be more like Notre Dame and don't want to, you know, lower the bar to, you know, play in the Southeastern Conference. Not that I'm saying that, you know what I mean, though, but from an academic competitive standpoint. But, you know, there's got to be a middle ground here, because you can't pretend, you can't go halfway in. Yeah, and
well, you can't
when you're gonna
not
be
take the money because you socially don't think you fit is a right fit. And they can still not think it's a right fit in that way, but still go and take the money. I mean, that's what kind of this is about. We still have to understand it's still about financials. That's
right.
Very,
it's
very
about
important.
And that's the point of pointing out Jay Hartzell as an economist. I know what the current round of TV rights look like. What does the next round look like? You have to be able to anticipate that and understand that, sure, the Big 12's done okay now, but they're not going to in the next round, not nearly, especially to what the SEC is going to get. So you either have to join them and understand that it's a changing landscape of college athletics, and if you want to be a premier college football school, you have to be in one of the premier conferences that's going to get a premier contract with the TV deals and is able to recruit to name, image, and likeness at the highest levels, which means for the players' buck, if the players can now sell their brand, those players want to play in the biggest games. They want to play in the biggest games on television. They want to play in the biggest games of the year. It's not just about trying to get yourself to the playoff. It's about week to week being exposed.
And you can't run from the competition.
Nope.
You can't be afraid of the competition. Even if you go in there and get yourself jacked up for a couple years.
Yep.
I'm just saying. You still have to go in there and compete with that, because it's going to, once again, recruiting kids aren't going to places to build programs, even if you're in the SEC, because they'll look at a group. If you're not winning, they'll go ahead and go to Georgia, Florida, Alabama.
Well, that's right.
If you're not winning games, they're going to look at you and say, "Wait, I'm not coming here to build your program. I'm going to win."
Correct. And
right,
make some money.
And make some money.
as Nick Saban admitted last week, SEC Media Days, his quarterback, who hasn't even played a game yet, almost to seven figures in deals that he's cut, playing for the Alabama brand. So that's all part of it. And that's why I appreciated his comment on Jay Hartzell, because an economist's job is to forecast what it's going to look like, not what it looks like now. What is it going to look like? And it's going to look ugly for Texas in a current Big 12 based on media rights deals and the ability to compete for the best players. I mean, because the best players want to go play in the best and the biggest premier games, play in the 12-team playoff, be a part of those things, and the SEC is a better launching pad for all of those things.
There's no doubt.
But, you know, culturally, I think there's be a lot of people that love the University of Texas that don't like it. They don't think it's...
Or they don't like it?
But, you know, Jay Hartzell and Kevin Elteif pushing that direction for sure.
Well, nobody's ever asked that question. No one has ever said that you can still go there and still not like the culture.
Well, look, there was always a thing, even when Mac Brown was here, there was a fear that, man, you join the SEC and you have to recruit like the SEC, which is under the table deals. We understand.
Well, everything's
that.
Above board now.
Well, now it's all legal.
Yes.
And don't think right now that Texas doesn't have, you know, ambitious alums that are putting together a sophisticated network to take care of players. That's happening. And you can now do it legally, and it's expected. And you can recruit to it. And, you know, Texas can look at their, you know, line.
That's why they have the brand they have.
They can look at their line of wealthy boosters
Absolutely.
And say, you know, we can compete with anybody on that front. Like, we're good. If that's what players are looking for, we're going to line ourselves up just fine in that. And, you know, Chris Del Conte can say, you're going to play in the best facilities. We've got our stadiums done.
Mm-hmm.
Those are completed. And now you can recruit to the idea that you're going to play in the biggest games Saturday by Saturday and in the premier conference. Look, I know it's going to come with some downsides, but at the same time, you have to forecast what it's going to look like down the road. And I think what this move is about more than anything else for Texas. Not what it is now, but what it's going to be. When we come back, we'll take your thoughts. Load up the Blitz. How about a Monday Blitz? I haven't heard a Blitz in a while. Let's be good to hear from everybody. 447-3776. Also, after the top of the hour, buddy Brian Davis from the Austin American Statesman will let us know what he foresees coming down this week, as it does appear that the breakup is imminent now between Texas, Oklahoma, and the Big 12. More to come next.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious gossip. Good to be back to bring it to you. Brought to you by Bud Light. Hope you had a great week or weekend with some ice cold Bud Lights. Summer is here. The blazing temperatures continue. I know I had a couple of Bud Lights at Wrigley Field on Friday, Buck. That was always good.
On the
Cubs
Vines.
Win.
Yes,
Cubs win. Beat the Diamondbacks 8-3. That was a fun day. Part of the trip to Chicago. Cold Bud Light's always a part of it for sure. Being safe and smart, but do it with the world's favorite light beer. Remember, Coke Fest is only a couple weeks out now. August 6th and 7th, Brushy Huddle Park at Brushy Creek. It is Coke Fest, and Bud Light Seltzer is a good one for the Coke Fest. How about that? You know, those Bud Light Seltzers, Buck, if you're headed out to Coke Fest or any of your outdoor activities, those Bud Light Seltzers, 100 calories, only 2 net carbs. The Bud Light Seltzer, perfect on these blazing hot summer days. If you want something other than the ice-cold Bud Lights, do it with the Bud Light Seltzer and Coke Fest. Get all those tickets. Get ready to go at CokeFest.com, K-O-K-E. Fest.com. Coke Fest is in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, I forgot to thank Colonel Flowers and Mike Harge and Hardball. Trey, and way too much of BK and Trey. I'm sorry about that, but sorry to do that to y'all last week.
You know, I appreciate them jumping in and pinching in, because I know it's tough without your partner, and appreciate them jumping in for sure. But Buck, the gossip of the day.
Oh, gotta have that.
So much gossip in the sports world. One, have you heard this Kanye West story, Isaiah Collier? According to TMZ, Kanye West is living in the Atlanta Falcons football stadium. He's divorced now from Kim Kardashian. And Kanye West...
Baker Mayfield?
Yes. But it all appears to be some type of publicity stunt for a new album that he's dropping later in the month. I don't know, Zay, have you heard about him living in the Atlanta Falcons Mercedes-Benz Stadium, like actually taking up residence?
Yeah, something like that. His album was supposed to drop on Friday, so he was having his album release party at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the ATL.
I saw him with a facial condom.
See, that's the thing. It looks like he has a big old pantyhose on his head. And even though him and Kim are divorced, she was still there with the baby supporting them.
As long as there's money to be made, I'll hang around, do something. Right? Why not?
Right. Exactly. Well, yeah. And I have to put this story under the gossip category, too. But it's SEC related. So, you know.
SEC.
Yeah.
SEC. No, we don't. Well, here's the, we don't
here's
do
the
that.
Deal. I don't know how much credibility to give it. But so we'll see. Because we know Texas and Oklahoma feels pretty good that that's going to happen this week. SEC is making a move to bring Oklahoma and Texas to the conference. But according to Barstool Sports' Jack McGuire, the SEC has also been in contact with Ohio State, Clemson, Florida State, and Michigan. And as this thing all falls together, they're planning a massive upheaval of college football to put the top 20 or 24 teams all into one conference. Super conference. Does that sound like gossip to you, or does that sound like something that could happen?
Sounds like, why is Clemson leaving when they can win every year right where they are? I mean, actually win and go to championships and collect all the money in the ACC.
That's what I keep wondering is ESPN and the Fox partners put out word that the money's not as much as it was. So if you're not a part of this exclusive conference, you're not going to make as much money where you are, ACC or Big 12.
Okay, well, guess who's going nowhere? Notre Dame.
Oh,
you know what Notre Dame is saying to the rest of you guys? Sorry, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah,
right?
Man. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see. That I have it in gossip right now, but not sure. This also could be gossip, but come true. According to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, the Houston Texans are listening to trade offers for Deshaun Watson currently. Deshaun Watson has shown up for training camp down in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Plans to not forfeit $50,000 a day for time he misses. Can the Texans actually trade him? Is somebody going to give them anything close to market value while he's still under these civil lawsuits? And that's anytime you get into this story, the uncertainties, the unknowns are so much more than the knowns.
For sure.
Like, why hasn't the NFL acted at all? What has their own investigation produced? If you feel like if the NFL, which you know they have their own arm of investigation.
And who really has offered that kind of deal on somebody that you don't know where they stand, period.
Right. I mean, well, look, you know there'd be interest in Deshaun Watson if he is available, but.
Yeah, he doesn't have to play it down.
What are the authorities saying? Is there a chance he gets out of these civil cases? I don't know. And that's. You know, he showed up for camp, so he's going to be there with Houston.
$50,000 a day, yeah, he's going to show up to camp. He got to use that coin.
Yeah. Well, it says right here, the Texans are now willing to listen and have been for some time to trade offers for star quarterback Deshaun Watson. Multiple sources tell Tom Pelissero that the price is high for a player of his caliber. They are 3 first-round draft picks to begin with. I don't think anybody's given that in his current legal situation.
No.
But that's what it could be. It doubles back to the NFL. What is his current legal situation? You know they've investigated this thing thoroughly in the last several months. The fact that they have not put him on the commissioner's exempt list and suspended him.
But here's what I don't need to know. They don't have to say anything to me about his situation. I'm not giving up 3 first-round draft picks.
Until I know for sure.
Yes. I'm not even on the thought of it. No thanks.
Well,
I'm not going to do that.
Well, can the Texans create a scenario where Philadelphia thinks Denver might just do it?
No, God.
You know what I mean? What do you mean?
They've made some foolish moves before.
Yeah. Well, the Texans? God, that's a long list. Let's go to your Blitz, which is also a long list.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Here we go. First Blitzer, you're up. What's up, Ice Cream Man?
Ice Cream Man, love that DQ. I got to tell you a funny story on that one, Toto.
No!
I said, Toto.
Yes.
So I got to welcome back, Blanquito. Hope you enjoyed your trip, buddy.
Thank you, man.
I said, Toto, so I need some shoes, man. You got maybe 10 you can spare? I got a couple of homes over there at the Home Depot, dude, that need some new cleats, man.
No, they're not. They're not cleats for dudes over at Home Depot. Wrong. Next Blitzer, you're up.
So I went to Colorado to escape the heat. Back then, the SEC sucked. Now the Big 12 sucks. Y'all are a bunch of damn politicians. My God.
My God. Next Blitzer, you're up. Yes.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, you're up.
Hello.
Yeah, you're up. Yes.
Once Texas gets into the SEC, How long will it be before they vote the Aggies out?
Over the first week. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Don't think so.
Oh, just when the show is getting good, he comes back.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
There's Digga. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Aaron. Have you ever been to Mexico and you see those stray dogs and you like throw hot dogs at them?
Yes.
That was Bucky and his crew last week with Tavo leading the way.
Stray dogs.
With hot dogs? I never saw that before. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Texas is getting ready to join the SEC and Quan's bringing up 2005. Come on, man.
Come on, man. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Vince Young. Yeah. Hey, Texas and OU, if you're having trouble writing those letters to the Big 12, let me know. I can help.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Texas.
Nope, no. Your phone is. I'm sorry phone about that issue. Phone. Sorry. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
Hey, I know Bucky's glad to have you back again. Because for that Friday at the end of the show, he was like Jerry Jones and Johnny Walker.
Jerry Jones, brother. We had a good one on Jerry. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Mindset matters. The reason Texas won the first Big 12 title, not Johnny Mac's game plan, not the Bucks call. It was JB. How about we beat them by 3 touchdowns?
JB.
Mindset matters.
Mindset matters. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, if A&M can get 3 other colleges to agree to Texas not to come, they can block Texas. But, hey, will Saban come down and get his butt wiped?
Sorry. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, hey, Buck.
Yeah.
Pastor Hound.
Hi, Smasher.
Yeah, so you were talking about that ring that you're missing. Yeah. I got some guys to help us out, help you out.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, but I'm not doing that. We're not doing it. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, hey, them. You can run, but you can get hide. We got more money than the Vatican. We're getting Sean Watson from the University of Texas to be our quarterback before you know it more.
Rolled up that window. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go.
Bye. Oh!
All right, coming up, we'll reset these top headlines. Also, which Dallas Cowboys are shining in the first week of Cowboys camp and expecting some potential breaking news. Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman will jump on with us about 9:30 this morning, get us the latest. Also, I was told, you know, Jeff Howe in Light the Tower, coming up at 10 o'clock.